Hello, friend. How are you doing today? How do I find you in this space? Last week, we talked about rewiring some of the thoughts in your brain and really taking control of your thoughts and what's going through your mind. How are you doing with that? Today, I wanted to branch off of that just a little bit and share some revelation that I've had around my physical body. Think for one second with me about your feet. Do you feel your toes in your shoes? Your feet that are so good to give you a firm foundation, to feel where you're standing. And think about your fingers and how much they do for you, from creating to cleaning, maybe to wiping tears and wiping bottoms if you have babies at home. Sister, we have a physical body that God declared was very good after He created it. So while I talk a lot about the heart and the mind, I don't want to ignore the beautiful physical house that God has given us to steward as well. I believe that healing is a whole self experience. So grab your Bibles. We have a couple different passages in the New Testament that I want to take a look at and show you the direction that I think we need to head when we are talking about our brains, but also our bodies. Hey, Mama. Welcome to Intimacy After Infidelity. Do you find yourself Googling, can a marriage survive infidelity? Or what's the first step to divorce? Do you wake up full of hope only to end the day with more shame when there's another stupid argument again? Hey, I'm Christina Joy, forgiven daughter of Jesus. I too felt the shame of infidelity and wished someone had a roadmap for how to get out of the mess so I could experience freedom. I kept telling myself I just needed to try harder to end the affair and fix my marriage, until I found I needed Jesus to heal some deep wounds in my heart. Through prayer, lots of research, and developing new healthy habits, I was able to find healing to shed my shame once and for all. Now I'm excited to share everything I've learned with you. So find your safe space and pop in that earbud. Let's rebuild your life and marriage better than it's ever been. Sister, I am so glad that you are here with me. Episode 51 kind of feels like, wow, I am over, one peak of a mountain. And I am so excited for what's coming with the next 50. Here we go. We're over halfway. But it's only possible, I'm only here because of you, because of the community that you listeners create. When you listen, and I know that I'm speaking to hundreds and thousands of women, and potentially even their husbands as well. I've heard from some of the men. But I love when I get to connect with you on the next level, which is most often our Facebook group, our Facebook community, where we can ask for prayer, we can find connection and relationship, we can encourage each other and ask the hard questions. So friend, we would be so blessed by your presence in that group, to encourage us and to motivate us to keep going. But we want to link arms with you as well in any of the highs or lows that you're experiencing. So I will have it linked in the show notes, but facebook.com/groups/intimacyafterinfidelity. And it would be an honor to sit with you in that space. So I want to start today with a revelation that my personal coach brought to my attention. She said that our church culture is so often focused on sin. Here's the rules. Are you keeping them? You don't break them. All this, the rules and the to-do list. However, what we actually find in scripture is that God and His word are way more focused on holiness and righteousness. I'm going to say that again. Holiness and righteousness, right living. So I started searching through scripture for some different passages that talked about this idea of being holy and righteous. And wouldn't you know it, the Lord met me there And there were many passages that connected holy and righteous with our physical bodies, and it connected it with our former way of living. So I don't know about you, but every once in a while, the flesh side of me, the sin nature side of me, whispers, man, I miss my old life. And let me tell you, I understand why the Israelites complained, we miss Egypt, even though they had been slaves for 400 years. Even after God rescued them, they still complained, we want to go back to Egypt, to our former way of life. And sister, if I'm honest, I understand that. However, this is where I'm taking control of my thoughts. I know that that is not what God has called me to. So let me share some verses with you that I think put it pretty bluntly. I love when God is blunt in his word. And so I cling to these powerful verses. And one of those is in Romans chapter 6. And it's actually the whole chapter. So I want to just skim and read kind of the majority of the chapter to you. Romans chapter 6, Paul's the author here, and he says, well, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father. Now we may live new lives. So we've been united with him in his death. We'll be raised to life just as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. We were set free from the power of sin. Now, down in verse 10, when Christ died, he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you should also consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Now, do not let sin control the way you live. Don't give in to sinful desires. I love how blunt that is. Don't give in to sinful desires. And don't let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So, verse 13, use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. You no longer live under the requirements of the law, but you're under the freedom of God's grace. Okay, I'm going to skip ahead towards the end of the chapter. Verse 18, am I right? Sorry, I can't see that. Verse 18, now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. And down in verse 19, you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do what was right. And what was the result? Well, now you're ashamed of the things you used to do, things that ended in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves to God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. Sister, I could end the episode right there. How powerful is that? The clear picture that God paints for us of what was in the past, our sin, but now we have the choice to choose righteousness and holiness, even with our bodies. Okay, so another passage, I won't read the whole chapter, but a couple verses from Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says, throw off your old sinful nature. Throw it off, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. But instead, let Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. All right, and one last one here, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, run from sexual sin. I will say that again. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. Sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. So, moral of the story, all these verses, putting them together, we are stewards of our bodies. God created them and gave them to us to care for. One illustration is to think about the difference between owning your own house versus renting a house. When you own something, you can do whatever you want with it. You can totally gut it, renovate it, do whatever you want. But when you rent something, you have somebody else who creates the rules and sets the standard for what happens there. And it's the same thing here. That last one I read, 1 Corinthians, said that God bought you when he sent Jesus to pay for your sin. When he went to pay for your sin, God bought you. So there aren't rules that you have to follow, but there are rules that you get to obey and you get to follow because God has saved your life. So, sister, I challenge your thinking here. And if you ever catch yourself saying things that you have to do, change that into the word get. You get to create boundaries. You get to take care of your physical body. You get to take care of your heart and your mind. You get to do this because God has given it to you. It's His. So for me, that means I have had to get really real about how my body plays a part in this righteousness and holiness. I will be totally honest. I realized that there was, it was kind of once a month that I started thinking about my affair partner again. Once a month. It felt super random and out of the blue. I'd be going along through life and, you know, just a memory or a thought would pop up. And I thought, where is this coming from? And then I realized that it seemed to correlate with my cycle. And if you've ever done any sort of cycle studies for women, it's fascinating how God created our bodies, even on the monthly cycle. But this got me thinking, as much as I work to care for my brain and my heart, and I pour into growing those and healing those, am I also caring for my physical body? So I thought of five things that I am doing or striving for that help my physical body, but I believe that it also plays a larger role in my overall healing journey. So first of all, for me, I aim to get about 8 hours of sleep a night. I know that, sure, I could operate on 6 hours, and I'm also in a season of 4 young kids, and so it's still kind of rare for me to get a full night's sleep without somebody waking me up, but I know that for me to operate at my best, I have to get about 8 hours of sleep a night. Okay, number two, what I do for myself is I try to drink half of my body weight in ounces of water. So let's just take kind of an even number. If you step on the scale and you see that there's 150 pounds, half of that is 75. So the goal, a healthy goal, would be to drink about 75 ounces of water in a day. So whatever that is for you, water plays a huge role in your mood and your alertness and all kinds of things. So water, very important. Okay, number three, I have supplements that I trust that have been proven to help regulate hormones. So yes, your cycle happens every month, but how are your hormones? How is your gut health? And so I have supplements that can help me regulate those. And I can tell when I have not been consistent in taking those. It just starts to mess with me. So I keep it super simple. For me, it's a multivitamin and a probiotic. And that does wonders for my hormones and my gut health that also affect my mood. Okay, number four, I get outside and I take walks or runs as much as I'm able to. At one point, I tried to put a number on it. You know, everyone has their goal of I'm going to exercise 5 times a week. But honestly, it changes for me between the weather, our family schedule, whether or not I can get outside, or I also do have a treadmill in my basement. But again, I can tell the difference in my body and my mind when I am exercising or not. And then number five, this is the one that I'm weakest in. So if you are strong in this area, please reach out to me. I would love to chat with you. But the one that I'm weakest in is nutrition. I am nowhere near great at the food that I take in. Like, I get super overwhelmed with fruits and vegetables and, you know, people who talk about counting carbs and macros and all the fancy things. So all of that seems to overwhelm me in this season of life. But here is what I can control. I can control how much sugar I let myself take in, and I can control how often I eat. So what works for me right now is, yeah, being mindful of what I'm eating, and also intermittent fasting. So I watch my eating versus fasting window and, you know, just again, trying to be mindful and intentional that I don't have to be eating 24 hours a day. I can wait until I'm hungry and I can have control over that. So I'm super curious if any of those resonate with you, or what would you add to the list? What are some ways that you are taking care of your body? And then how do you see that affecting your emotions and your mind and your thoughts and your spirit? So I would love to hear from you. Let me know, send me a message, or come find me in the Facebook group and let's chat about it, because I know that I have more to learn and I would love to get some tips from you as well. So, sister, I love you and the Lord loves you. Reject the former way of life. Keep your eyes looking forward. The Lord has such good things in store for you. So be well, and I pray that you experience the love of Christ.
Hey, Mama, I hope today's episode encouraged your heart. If you need to talk about this some more, would you send me a message at ChristinaJoyCoaching.com? Also, please take 30 seconds and leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It thrills my heart to know this podcast is helping you heal your heart so you can shed the shame of your affair. I am cheering for you, and I can't wait to hear your story. I'll meet you back here on Tuesdays and Thursdays for another episode. As always, be clothed with strength and dignity, and laugh without fear of the future.